everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Fever podcast. This is lucky episode number 77. I'm your host this week, Holly Filmuth, and I am joined by yet another contributor to the NintendoFever.com website, Lucas Termini.
Hey everybody, my name's Lucas Termini. For those of you who don't know or didn't just hear Holly say it, I have been
or on... haven't listened to the Monster Hunter specials, right?
I was actually just going to say that. I've been on two podcasts so far, and they've both been specials, and they've both been about Monster Hunters. So it will be a little refreshing to talk about something besides Monster Hunter for a good hour, you know?
Right. So on that note, actually, as I mentioned, you are a contributor to NintendoFever.com as a writer. So the listeners may want to know, just like we talked with Mike McSurdy last week, what is your personal style? Like, how do you feel you're different from everybody else in terms of written content on Nintendo Fever? And is there anything that we can expect from you in the near future on NintendoFever.com?
Well, I guess this is going to sound kind of flowery, but my writing style is actually kind of flowery anyway. I think I tend to write from the heart, which I think is a positive aspect, you know? I feel like I'm objective. I feel like I don't put too much of a personal spin on it, but I definitely have a lot of experience with, like, the video game industry, just having grown up so, you know, so attached to it, like I think a lot of us have. And I think that just right. kind of gives me my own, you know, voice for my articles. And I don't write a lot, which is something I'm trying to work on. But
I've got the same problem. No worries there.
I'm hoping in the future I can get a little more involved. I'm trying to pick up the slack a little bit. So I don't actually have anything in the works at the moment, but I have a feeling that after this podcast, I might have some ideas for some new articles.
Right. So as the for listeners who may be kind of new, I guess, to this concept of the writers joining episodes of the podcast, we are kind of all trying to regroup together and get our written content up off of its feet or up onto its feet. Yeah, we're trying to kick it down off of its feet. so yeah, hopefully expect some great things in the future. It's kind of going a bit slow for the time being, but in the near future, we're going to start really getting our written content on NintendoFever.com up and running. So one more question, and I didn't tell you before the podcast that I was going to ask this, but I feel like, because the first time we played games together, it was Monster Hunter. And the only podcasts that you've done have been Monster Hunter, and a lot of the reviews you've done actually have also been Monster Hunter. I feel like, what else does Lucas play? So my question for you is, what other Nintendo franchises or, you know, any video game franchises do you like? Because for some reason I feel like I don't know that about you, weirdly.
That is actually a really good question, and I'm realizing how true that statement is as you're saying it.
I plays Monster Hunter.
I actually love, like, almost every, like, Nintendo IP. Like, right. I fell in love with Star Fox Zero when that came out. I thought that was really refreshing and a great take on the new game. I love Pokemon. I've got, like, as many hours into Pokemon, I think, as I have into Monster Hunter. I love playing online. Mario Bros. I used to love Sonic a lot when I was a kid, but I feel like the franchise has really dipped lately. I think the Nintendo IPs that I'm least into would probably be like Kirby and Yoshi. I don't know, they're just a little too laid back for my taste, and I know I'm going to get flack from that from some of the other writers, but...
Ah, that's okay, we've all got them, although I can't personally think of... I don't play a lot of Kirby, I mean, I like Kirby, but don't play a lot of that either. So yeah, I could kind of say the same thing. So all right, well that clears that up. I'm really glad to know now that you play stuff besides Monster Hunter.
Oh yeah.
So with that all out of the way, let's talk about this show and kind of the segments and the plans that we have for this episode of the podcast. We're going to do our usual sections today. We're going to start with Who's That Pokemon. We're going to move on to recent swag after that. We're going to talk about games that came out on the eShop this week after that. And some of those games that we may or may not have been playing. I guess after that, the games that we have been playing comes after that, followed by our feature and then a couple of listener questions. Our feature this week is going to be on the fate of the Nintendo 3DS. We don't have any, you know, bullet points under that, to be honest, so we'll see where that takes us. But for now, let's move on to Who's That Pokemon. And Lucas, I know you're not super familiar with the structure of the podcast, but do you happen to have a Pokemon like in mind that you could try to like describe to me? Or maybe you could just think of a random Pokemon off the top of your head right now, and I'll try to guess it just based on asking questions.
All right. Well, there is a Pokemon in Pokemon Go that I have been relentlessly trying to obtain, so we could go with that one if you want.
Okay. So right, that's my first hint.
Well, yeah, since I said it was Pokemon
it's rare.
Go, it's rare in Pokemon Go, and that obviously
and it
means
to be
it's
Gen
1. Yep. Let's see. Should I just kind of keep listing off hints?
Well, I usually have kind of a set of questions. So what type or types is it?
It is a pure normal type.
Okay, just normal. I'm going to throw out Lickitung.
It is not a Lickitung. I'm proud to say I actually already have a Lickitung.
Oh, well done. I've got one too, so that's why it immediately came to mind. So
nice.
that's my only quote unquote rare Pokemon in Pokemon Go. Okay, so just pure normal. Does it evolve or is it evolved or anything like that?
Yeah, it evolves from something and it evolves to something.
Okay, so I have a pretty good idea. I'm just gonna say Clefairy.
It's not a Clefairy.
Okay, a Jigglypuff?
It's not a Jigglypuff. Oh, I feel so special.
you should.
I've got a hint for you, though. It is
sure.
The same color as every other Pokemon you've mentioned so far.
Oh, okay. It's it can't be Ditto.
Mm-mm.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, normal types. Just pure normal type. That's kind of odd. In Gen 1. I've got nothing. Where? Oh.
I could give you a hint that'll give it away.
Oh... Oh, give me just a second.
All right.
Never mind. Just give it away.
Well, it has a signature move called Soft Boiled.
Oh my gosh. Chansey.
There you go.
Yeah, okay.
I feel pretty
I forgot
good about
Blissey,
this.
I guess.
I actually
well done.
I'm proud of myself.
Yeah, that usually only happens with Gen 5 and sometimes 6 Pokemon, and occasionally 4. Yeah, I get stumped a lot, clearly. Matt occasionally does it, though. So, on to a Pokemon for you listeners to guess, actually. As usual, we have a random Pokemon for you to guess this week based on some hints. First of all, last week's Pokemon was Glalie. I hope I'm saying that right. It's kind of a tongue twister, I feel like. So Glalie, a pure ice type Pokemon that has a mega evolution. It evolves from Snorunt. Kind of a cool Pokemon. So well done to, I believe, Gentis guessed it as usual. Ivan guessed it as usual as well. I am sorry I can't think of anybody else whose guesses that I saw, but well done to anybody who guessed that correctly. This week, of course, I have a random Pokemon for you again. So first hint for you listeners is... It is a Generation 1 Pokemon, so it's a Generation 1 kind of episode, I guess. So Generation 1 Pokemon, get those Pokemon in your mind. It's not Chansey, I can tell you that. it'd be kind of funny if I somehow randomly picked the same Pokemon that Lucas decided to choose for me. So it's not Chansey. There's another hint for you. Second hint is it's a dual type Pokemon. It is both Bug and Poison. Third hint. If you have an idea already of what it is, then that's great. Third hint, though, it is that this is a base evolution. It doesn't evolve from anything, but it does evolve into something. It only evolves once. So if you have an idea of who that is already, then that's great. But we do have one fourth and final hint for you, and that is that it has quote-unquote compound eyes. So hopefully with all of those, you know, you kind of have an idea of what Pokemon that is. As always, you can guess by tagging us in Twitter or using hashtag NFPokemon in Twitter. Or we've actually seen people use hashtag NFGameClub in Twitter, which we really have to get that Game of the Month Club thing back up and running. But you can use that hashtag as well. So throw out your guesses. We are obviously very open to them. But moving on from Pokemon talk, let's talk a bit about recent swag. So Lucas, you've never been on a regular episode of the podcast, so you really have the world of your recent swag to talk about if you want, but is there anything more recent or anything near and dear to your heart that's physical that you want to talk about in our recent swag section?
Well, I feel like this is kind of just going to piggyback off of your last episode, but I did get my Mizutsune in the mail that
yes.
Fellow writer Mike had sent. I'm trying to think if I got anything else besides that incredibly swaggy piece of swag lately. It's been a while since I've done some Nintendo shopping for myself. I think my last big purchase was probably Monster Hunter Generations, which is kind of embarrassing since we just got on this whole, like, hey, does Lucas do anything besides Monster Hunter? I promise I do, I just don't think I've done anything lately.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way just because lately I've been realizing, like, life gets busy. I swear, everyday life is a little busier, and so right now I'm not buying a whole lot of games, so... And on that note, I actually don't have any recent swag at all this week, sadly. So is there anything in your past, like any kind of cool swag that you've gotten in the past that you'd like to talk about?
Well, for my birthday, this is going to sound really weird and this is going to be really, like, unconventional. But for my birthday, I did get these little Super Mario Brothers coasters. And they're actually they're like the pixels from the original Super Mario Bros. On the NES. And I actually really kind of dig them because they just look like little pixels you can hold in your hand. I actually, like, took a picture of me holding the coin, and it looks like I've got, like, the game money in my hand. So, I don't know if it's necessarily swag, but...
Oh, that is, absolutely.
It's something I'm really enjoying, so...
I don't even own coasters, so that'd be kind of... If I became a coaster kind of person, I'd definitely look out for something like that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Totally counts, too. that makes this recent swag, despite the fact that I didn't get anything, that definitely makes this recent swag worth it. This section anyway. Moving on from that though, we have our section on what came out on the Nintendo eShop this week for download. Of course, a couple of the big ones are Shin Megami Tensei 4 Apocalypse is out on the 3DS right now for download or for purchase physically. So that's pretty cool. We also have a new Nindies Summer Jam release on the Wii U this week called Severed. That game looks pretty awesome. Is that one that you have any interest in, Lucas?
Yeah, I've actually been following Severed for a while. I think it might be one that I pick up.
Yeah, it's really dark looking and yet still really, really rich with color. It's got such a neat visual style for one thing. And then it's controlled mostly on the touchscreen as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
Actually, as far as I can tell, there's no button use in that game, so that's pretty awesome. And it's got some light RPG elements. It's kind of a dungeon crawler, a bit of puzzle solving in there, monster fighting RPG elements. I think that us Monster Hunter fans probably should not ignore this one too much because it does involve killing monsters and then using their parts to upgrade your character.
That is kind of a big thing for us.
Yep. Huge selling point for Monster Hunter fans there. Except in this case, I don't think you're exactly making armor. You're making, like, a new fleshy arm for the main character who is missing her own arm, but can, like, you know, magically graft these monster parts onto her arm. So that's pretty awesome. Just saying. So also out on the Wii U this week is Donkey Kong Country Returns, which is kind of funny. I don't know if you got to this point in last episode, Lucas, but... last week, I talked with Mike specifically about how I hate Donkey Kong Country Returns, and
really?
Then it just so happens it comes out the same week. Really, really. We had a great question from a listener named Cody who asked us, like, which quote unquote dead video games would you send to the eternal fire? And this is one of them. I hated Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Ouch. You know, I didn't, there were things about it that I didn't love. Like, it didn't really feel like a Donkey Kong Country game, but as far as platformers went, I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. I think what I was expecting was for it to recapture the magic of the original Donkey Kong Countries, and it just didn't.
I hear that.
Yeah. It's too colorful. The music doesn't do the job. Too colorful may sound weird, but the original Donkey Kong Country trilogy was kind of dark and really toned down in terms of color.
Yeah.
Which I feel like gave it quite a, you know, unique atmosphere. So, loved it. Hated Returns, though. So it's funny that, like, that came out on the Wii U Virtual Console this week. Of course, it's originally a Wii game, came out for download on the Wii U this week, though. So for anyone who is interested in trying it, don't let my harsh words stop you. Listen to what Lucas had to say. And, yeah, give it a chance if you are at all inclined to do so. A couple other Virtual Console releases came out on new Nintendo 3DS systems this week. emphasis on the new, because these are Super Nintendo games that will only be usable, workable,
playable?
On the new Nintendo 3DS. Playable, exactly, yes. Those are Final Fight 2 and Final Fight 3. Do you know anything about these games, Lucas, out of curiosity?
Never played them, never heard of them. I assume Kay. That they're like 2D fighting games in the vein of like King of Fighters or Street Fighter, but I really have no idea. I could be totally wrong about that.
I think Street Fighter, but it's actually kind of a beat-em-up where you've got side-scrolling levels and you actually, you know, make progress.
Hmm.
And I think that's basically what they are. No one quote... Everyone take that with a grain of salt. No one quote me on that. But that's just based on actually what I talked to with my brothers. I have some older brothers who apparently liked these games, and so...
Huh.
Maybe a selling point. Neither of them own 3DSs, but... Final Fight and I think Star Fox 64 3D actually could be selling points for my brothers to possibly get 3DS systems themselves. But also out on 3DS on Tuesday, actually, which is the 27th of September, is a retail game called River City Tokyo Rumble. I know virtually nothing about this. I did check out some screenshots and things like that, but I'm just not that familiar with this River City stuff, so... I think it kind of goes with River City Ransom or something like that, though. So that, again, is actually a retail game, but of course it will be available for download as well on Tuesday, September 27th. Also on 3DS this week is an indie game called Noah's Cradle. This one I definitely looked up a trailer for, and it's actually a fighter jet kind of game where humanity... has left Earth or something like that, but their ship, which they kind of call Noah's Cradle, has been sucked into crash-landed in the atmosphere or something of one of the gas giants, I believe. So it's kind of a trippy concept, but basically it's like a fighter jet fighting kind of game, as far as I can tell. So that's out on 3DS. Finally, we have several indie games out on Wii U this week as well. As usual, we have a game called Laser Blaster, which I believe is kind of a strategy game where you're just trying not to get blown up by enemy lasers by shooting out your own lasers. We have Titan's Tower, which is actually from RC Maniacs. Again, really awesome developer who is constantly putting out, a single guy developer as well, who's constantly putting out just interesting little cheap diversions that you can download on Wii U. So Titan's Tower is one of those on Wii U. We have Double Breakout, which is funny because last week we had Brick Breaker or something like that, I believe, on the Wii U.
Huh.
And Mike actually clarified that kind of the game that originated this, you know, Brick Breaker concept was a game called Outbreak.
Hmm.
Or Breakout. Outbreak.
Outbreak. That sounds more like a survival horror title.
Yes, that actually does. They gotta make, perfect thing. Like, Brick Breaker concept with the survival horror side elements or something like that.
Oh, I would really, like kind of how they do those, like, pinball games on the Wii U, and they have, like, all the different modes, like zombie mode or, like, Captain America, stuff like that. I could totally get into a survival horror Brick Break game.
And it would be called Outbreak.
It has to be.
Instead of Breakout. So in the case of Double Breakout, you can apparently play kind of like a Pong-like mode against a computer or a friend in local play, where you're basically playing Brick Breaker Breakout. I'll try to refer to it as that. So you're basically playing that sideways with a friend, and it's kind of a mashup with Pong, the Pong concept.
That's cool.
Yeah. So not a bad one to check out, at the very least, for the listeners who are interested. Finally, out on the Wii U, we have an action game called Wings of Mal... Oh, gosh. I'm going to pull a Matt here and butcher my pronunciation, but Maglorix. I'm just gonna throw that pronunciation out there. Wings of Maglorix. You play as a dragon called Maglorix, I believe, in this game, and you're fighting foes and there's boss fights in it. I'm not sure exactly how the controls work, but basically, it appears that you are this dragon just kind of flying in place. You can move around a little bit, but you're trying to avoid getting hit by things and trying to destroy enemies or something. The trailer actually looks pretty good, so check it out if you're so inclined to do so. So that kind of covers what came out this week on the Nintendo eShop on 3DS and Wii U. So let's move on to games that instead we have been playing. So anything interesting that you have been playing lately, feel free to talk about Monster Hunter Generations if you'd like.
I'm actually going to skip over Monster Hunter Generations because you all know that I've been playing that. And if you really want to know how much I've been playing it, you can listen to the special podcast me and Mike just recorded.
Yep.
Do apps count? Can I say I've been playing Pokemon Go?
Yeah, go ahead. We can have a bit of a discussion about that. We have done so with various people on the show, so that actually works perfectly. I can't log in for the life of me for the past week or so, so I'm having as bad a luck in Pokemon Go as ever.
That would really torture me. No, I've been doing Pokemon Go. My friend actually just got Tomodachi Life, which I know is kind of outsourced or outdated, I guess, with Miitomo. But Miitomo was just eating up too much of my memory. So I've actually been playing Tomodachi Life again, as bizarre as that sounds for a guy who's also into Monster Hunter. But in Pokemon Go, actually, after work yesterday, I went to the park and I found like a Machop's breeding ground. I got like 9 Machop at the end of the day. So I had a pretty good day
breeding
in Pokemon
ground?
Go.
Is that like a real thing? Like a
I have no
or is
idea.
That a nickname
I,
for a thing,
I don't know if I think they have nests in the game. I don't know if this is a nest or if it's just like a place where Machop spawn, but every day when I'm going to work, I see these Machop, and I decided to go to the park today, or yesterday, and they were just all over the place. Like, all I had to do was walk, like, 10 feet, and another Machop would pop up. So, I don't know what it is, but I'm thankful that it exists, and I'm hoping it doesn't go away anytime soon.
I'm kind of jealous, because I really like Machop, but I haven't encountered any in my little town. But I recently caught a Clefairy. Is that kind of...
That's pretty cool. I've never caught a Clefairy, and I've hatched like 150 eggs, so I'm actually really jealous of that.
I am in the process of hatching my very first egg right now.
Oh, wow!
Yeah, that's how casual I am with Pokemon Go. As well, you know, it doesn't help that the game won't let me log in, and I've complained about it a million times. So the listeners, this will sound real familiar to the listeners, if not to you, but Pokemon Go still, I even uninstalled last week. Mike actually recommended that I uninstall the app and then reinstall it. He said that fixed problems for him kind of earlier in the app's life cycle, but it didn't do anything for me. In fact, it seems to have made things worse. I cannot get it to quote unquote authenticate. It's always saying unable to authenticate. Ooh. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I've tried re-entering my, you know, username and password and things like that in like a million times, but so I don't think it's a password problem. So I'm kind of unable to do that. But yeah, I caught a Clefairy. Caught a lot of Geodude recently, and I got some Ponyta.
Oh,
I am still looking. Oh, are those pretty good ones? Kind of rare ones from where you're
at? I think
so.
I think I've seen maybe like one since I started playing. I don't know. I feel like it depends on where you're living in the country. Maybe that's been debunked.
Yeah.
But like there was a day Mike was texting me. And he saw, like, a Doduo, and he was all excited because there was this Doduo. And I was like, I have, like, 8 Doduo. Like, this isn't rare or anything, but...
Yeah, I've never seen a Doduo. So, yeah, I think that, to a degree, it kind of depends on where you're at.
I think
which Pokemon that you'll see.
Which is kind of cool, you know? I like that about it.
Yeah, it's definitely keeps things interesting. Like, I told my brother, like, guess what? I caught a Clefairy today. And he's all like, Clefairy are pretty common here. And I'm sure that they're, you know, pretty rare elsewhere, so we've got a nice little Clefairy town, if nothing else.
That's pretty cool. I kind of wish I had that.
Yeah. I wish I had Machop, so yeah, that's kind of a cool aspect of Pokemon Go, for sure. So any comments on Tomodachi Life? That's personally, oh my goodness, I actually have to mention that Tomodachi Life, I probably, before I kind of passed my island, if you will, onto my sister, I probably played that game for over 20 hours total, because it's just that interesting to watch your weird shenanigans of your islanders. But you, Lucas, are actually in my little Tomodachi Life town. I forget what's going on with your character, but something interesting happened recently, I believe.
Oh.
Based on what my sister said. So my sister is now controlling your life as well as the lives of a bunch of other random people on my island.
That's comforting. That's actually really cool. I really appreciate that. Yeah, actually.
So I'm not in your town, is that what you're saying?
I don't think you are, but I might have to add you after this podcast. I have Mike in my town, so I feel like I need to add you too. And Mike is actually starting off a relationship with Nurse Joy from Pokemon, so that's really magical.
That is awesome.
Yeah, no, it is a fun game. It's one of those games I like to just, like, log into for a couple of minutes every day. I don't get a lot of, like, you know, mileage on it, but it's something that I do, like, daily. So it's a nice little way to kind of wake up and see what everybody's up to in your town, you know?
Yeah. I gotta take back over for my sister soon because she kind of lost interest in the game. She realized that there's not a lot you can do to pair up certain people, like the people you want to pair up. There's not a lot you can do to control that. And so I think that's probably why she kind of drifted away from it. but she would play it for good long chunks of time. And I'm just like, geez, I played it for, you know, 5 minutes at a time. And already within that amount of time, I would see repetition.
Yeah.
In the game, I think that's the biggest problem with it, but it can be so entertaining to see what happens. On the note of Mike getting together with Nurse Joy, I think I've mentioned this before back when I first started playing Tomodachi Life, but my best friend Clarissa ended up marrying Chuck Norris in my copy of Tomodachi Life. I'm not sure I ever mentioned that, but Chuck Norris I actually put in my island because of the podcast. Back when Bradley was in the podcast, Matt and Bradley both were just like, you got to put Chuck Norris in your island. It's not complete without Chuck Norris. So I did. Literally within a day, Chuck Norris and Clarissa were a couple. And then within a day of that, one of them was already wanting to propose to the other. So I was like, why not? What the heck? Let's put Chuck Norris and Clarissa together. That's great. So Tomodachi Life, it can be very entertaining. So anything else interesting happening in your island?
I'm trying to think. Not a whole lot, to be honest. No, nothing really monumental yet. I guess when we move you in, we'll have to come back at some point and update our listeners as to exactly what's going on in your new life, but...
In my new life. I've got to get back into that as well. I don't really know what's happening with you, Lucas, in my town, so I'd like to go and see what's going on with you, so...
I would appreciate an update. I'd like to know exactly where my life headed.
Yeah, me too. So, that's totally foreshadowing for Lucas returning to the podcast sometime in the near future, which I would definitely not say no to. So as far as what I have been playing, let's see, sadly, I've already talked a little bit about Pokemon Go and how I still can't log in. So there's, Skyward Sword, which I've talked about for the past 2 or 3 weeks, is still kind of my thing right now. I don't have a whole lot of time to play games lately. I get a little bit of time usually when I get home from work at the end of each day, and I'll try to put in an hour or two in Skyward Sword at the end of each day, and that's pretty much what my gaming consists of. Sadly, not a lot of Monster Hunter. Although last week, Matt and I determined, I believe this was actually after the podcast, so I didn't mention it, but last week I talked about in the podcast, like, yeah, I still don't think I'm much more than 20 hours into Monster Hunter. And then we play Monster Hunter later on. He checks my guild card. He's all like, oh, you've got 40-something hours. I'm like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Monster Hunter will just suck you in, and suddenly you'll have, like, 50 hours of playtime, and you're all like, what?
It just drains your playtime, because, like, a session takes, like, half an hour to do one monster, and before you know it, you've done, like, four, and oh, there's two more hours on you. Guild card, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. But hey, we sometimes Skype when we play Monster Hunter, me and Mike especially, so totally makes it worth it. We're socializing. It's good for us.
Agreed.
So,
Agreed.
Totally just gonna throw that excuse out there. So yeah, a teeny bit of Monster Hunter that I did did after last week's recording of the podcast, that is. And then a lot more Skyward Sword, which, oh my gosh, again, I just cannot properly express how much I love Skyward Sword and just the Zelda series in general. About a week ago or so, I also watched Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind, and because I've been playing Zelda and I just watched a Studio Ghibli movie, I just was floating on air because Studio Ghibli and Zelda together are the most magical things in the world.
Yeah.
To me. Oh, I love them both, so I'm just very happy with what I have been able to play lately. That is Skyward Sword, one of those greats. in my opinion anyway. But we, I think, have kind of covered what we've been playing well enough at this point. So let's move on to the main event of this episode, and that's our feature, the fate of the Nintendo 3DS. So Lucas, you were kind of the one who presented this idea for this feature, this episode. So do you have any thoughts right off the bat, just on the 3DS and where it's headed and what Nintendo intends to do with it, or what that means, I guess, for Nintendo's future? Because personally, I feel like Nintendo putting so much time and effort into the 3DS possibly foreshadows an unfortunate NX delay that may happen, because Nintendo, you know, they've got to give us something, and since the 3DS is a more lucrative place to put their resources, suddenly they're like, okay, here's all the 3DS stuff that we've got coming. Please just hold out on this while we delay the NX. I almost feel like that's the reason that we're getting so much 3DS support right now, but do you have any thoughts on that?
It's an interesting thought. Well, actually, yeah, I don't know exactly why I proposed talking about this today, but I always found it kind of interesting that the handheld systems have been where Nintendo's been thriving since the Wii U launched, because I think we all kind of expected handheld gaming to kind of go the way of the dinosaur as mobile gaming got more and more popular, but right, instead of Nintendo just jumping on the mobile bandwagon, they're still really, you know, putting a lot of their resources, like you were saying, into the 3DS. I mean, we had the DS, and then we had all of those updates and the new systems. The 3DS came out when I was in college, and now I've been out of college for, like, 3 years, and it's still a system, and we've had a 2DS, and we've had a new 3DS, and it just seems like...
And a new 3DS XL, regular 3DS XL.
No, there's, like, 100 different versions of the system, and it seems like maybe we're getting out of the mode of just replacing systems every few years because it's the thing to do. Maybe we're hitting a point where, like, we're just going to see new versions of the 3DS for the next, like, 10 years? I don't know.
Interesting.
It's hard to predict, because, like, with the Game Boy, you always expected it to go to, like, the Game Boy Color and the Game Boy Advance, and the DS comes out, and with this one, it just seems like we've kind of just been building on the success of the DS for the last, like, 10 years.
Yeah, that's true, because, I mean, you know, obviously the big thing that the 3DS added was 3D, which glasses-free 3D, especially the eye-tracking 3D that you get with the new 3DS systems, that's actually pretty cool for some games, but really it's just a novelty. It does not add that much to gameplay. That's kind of arguable in terms of Super Mario 3D Land, but I don't. Can you think of any other game that really, really benefits from the 3D? So yeah, I feel the same. Pokemon and the success of the original Nintendo DS, I feel like, are kind of holding the 3DS up there in terms of, I don't know, making it competitive with mobile gaming. That's a huge thing.
I would say that's true to a degree. I think also the lack of, like, a true competitor in the marketplace has really helped Nintendo, because PlayStation does come out with their handhelds, but that's never really been the focus for them. And with Nintendo, it's like people I know who never touch Nintendo systems, like consoles, will have 3DSs just because, you know, they like mobile gaming, and it's kind of the go-to for mobile gaming. Yeah, I do agree with what you were saying about the whole, kind of Pokemon is a big factor there. I've always kind of pushed for, like, a console Pokemon game that plays like regular Pokemon, but maybe that would actually, like,
Dream come true.
Maybe that would actually kind of kill the 3DS, though. Maybe that's why they haven't done anything like that.
Interesting. So what do you think about the rumors that the NX will be a hybrid, and how do you feel like that plays into... It is interesting that, I mean, if the NX were a hybrid, I feel like Nintendo wouldn't be putting so much time and energy into the 3DS. So that leads me to believe that the NX won't be a handheld home system hybrid. But do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's an interesting point, actually. I would be pretty happy, I think, if it were. I really like that right now, whether I'm playing my console or my handheld, I can go out into the living room and socialize and play my game, and I don't have to be looking up at a TV screen and hogging all the time. I really, like, I never want to go back and play old games because I never want to have to use the TV. I love using the gamepad. I think I spend, like, 99% of my time on the gamepad. So I think anything that will allow me to do that again, anything that will allow me to, like, break away from having to actually use a TV is a plus for me. But you do bring up a good point. Why would they be spending so much time on the 3DS if the NX is just going to be, like, a new handheld? Unless it's kind of, don't know. Like, I was going to say, maybe it'll be kind of like the Wii U, where it's like a hybrid, but you have to be within a certain range of your system. That seems like a really bad idea for a system.
Yes.
But, I mean, Nintendo does come up with some wacky ideas like that, so I'm kind of hoping it's not that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, actually, that we haven't heard really much of anything about it yet. I thought we were going to get some news a couple of weeks ago, and when that didn't happen, I feel like maybe you're right. Maybe it is going to get pushed back.
Yeah, that's just the unfortunate feeling that I get. People are starting to get really upset and impatient, but, you know, I think at this point, like, if Nintendo was really firmly going, you know, officially going to delay the NX, then maybe, this is actually kind of a hopeful note, but maybe they should have said that a long time ago, because at this point, people are already so mad that if Nintendo did announce, like, sorry, the NX has actually been delayed, that's why we haven't revealed it yet, then, wow, there would be serious backlash for that. There's also, kind of going back to the main point here, there's also that rumor that the NX is going to use cartridges, so there's, like, a chance that it'll be backwards compatible with 3DS games. If it were backwards compatible with 3DS games and somehow still a console handheld hybrid, I'd say that would be pretty awesome.
That would be pretty cool. I mean, I feel like one thing that I've always kind of missed on Nintendo systems is being able to put all of your stuff together, like when the Wii U came out. And granted, I was able to move over some of my Wii titles, but I had to play on, like, the virtual console on the Wii. Like, there wasn't just that instant backwards compatibility. It would be pretty cool to get some 3DS compatibility. Because there were rumors, weren't there, that the NX wasn't going to be backwards compatible with either the Wii or the Wii U? Was that a thing?
I don't know if it's confirmed, but I know that there's kind of a rumor surrounding that, but I think that could be because of a comment that a Nintendo representative made that get a Wii U now while you still can, basically, was the comment, which leads me to believe, like, this thing's not going to be backwards compatible with Wii U. But backwards compatible with the 3DS, I think, could be promising, especially if there is kind of a cartridge-based element to it. My idea on that is that Nintendo, it's mostly going to be a digital thing. Hopefully, there will be models of it with a lot of memory, because I feel like Nintendo's probably going to actually lean towards forcing people to buy digitally for this as much as possible. Because that's a direction I feel that they have been going in for a long time. So that's what I think in terms of, like, people, if this was a cartridge-based system, I don't think that would make people very happy. But if the main thing with this system was, like, downloadable games, like AAA games, download only type thing, which would actually kind of upset me anyway. But if that were the case, at least that would kind of, you know, make the whole cartridge-based rumor a little less painful.
Yeah, well, you know, from a pure monetary standpoint, I feel like it's easier to design for download-only titles anyway, because you don't have to deal with all of the packaging and the burning it to the disc and everything. Like, that's why I think sometimes we see, like, Japan games that come over to the States, but they're download-only, because it saves them a lot of time, and they don't really want to overestimate how well a game is going to sell. So maybe that would be a way to get some people on board for producing for Nintendo again. And I feel like every time a new Nintendo system comes out, we're talking about how to get third-party developers to develop for the system, and we think there's going to be a lot of third-party support, and then all of a sudden everybody kind of pulls the plug after, like, the first year, like they did with the Wii U. So I don't know.
Yeah, speaking of that, actually, and again, this is getting a little off topic from talking about 3DS, but you heard the comment made by the Ubisoft CEO who said, like, oh yeah, we love the Wii U, it's so different, it's so Nintendo, and we can't wait to develop for it, basically, is the gist of his comments. Did you hear about that at all? Kind of a big deal to people.
I did hear about that. I'll be honest, I don't have the best taste in my mouth when we talk about Ubisoft. Just because, yeah, I felt like they kind of jumped onto the Wii U bandwagon really prematurely, and they made games that were kind of eh. And I understand that they're their own company, and they need to produce for themselves, and that's the important thing for them. But Rayman kind of left a bad taste in my mouth when it went from, like, an exclusive to a game for everybody, and they delayed it. I felt like what they kind of did with what they did with Watch Dogs was kind of the same. Zombie U was interesting, but it really turned out to be a really kind of bad version of a zombie survival game. So I don't know. I mean, I'm always happy to hear people say that they're really excited to develop, but I'm not sure if I put 100% faith in what Ubisoft says right now.
Yeah, unfortunately, I would actually have to agree with that. Although, it is fairly promising. Like, I am glad to hear that there are some good comments on, you know, the dev kits or whatever of the Enix that they have their hands on and have had for a while now, as far as I can tell. So, you know, despite the fact that it is Ubisoft's CEO saying this, despite that, I'm just glad to hear something positive.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah. I'm trying to find, and it's kind of pointless because this is a bit off topic because we're trying to focus on the 3DS today, but I'm trying desperately to find that comment that he made so that we can say what it is. I mean, I obviously gave the gist of it, but...
Well, I can ramble for a minute if you want to look for it. I was going to say something, and it's NX again, and I'm sorry, I know we were supposed to be talking about the 3DS, but I feel like...
I feel like it's relevant, especially since, you know, Nintendo is putting support into the 3DS with the NX on the way. It's like, why? Just why?
I'm just kind of curious to hear, because right now, from what I understand, it's fairly easy to develop indie titles for the Wii U, which is why I think we're seeing so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think all you really have to do is develop for HTML5, and you can upload to the Nintendo eShop, you know, after you go through the processes and everything. I'm curious to see if it's going to be that simple when the NX comes out, because I'd really like to see as much indie support as I think Nintendo's been throwing out. I think that's actually one area where Nintendo's been doing a really good job with the Wii U, has been all of the indie support on the eShop. So I'm kind of hoping to see that continue, because our indie developers are like our greatest treasure at this point.
Yes, definitely, for sure. If Nintendo could continue all of that indie support or continue to receive all the indie support as well as get good third-party support, that would just be phenomenal. But
that would be really good.
I just feel like, I mean, currently the PlayStation PlayStation 4 and Xbox One are just competing relentlessly to see like who's the more powerful console and things like that, and I feel like developers, third-party developers, that's all they seem to care about. I see trailers for games on those systems and it's just like this game's trying to be as realistic as possible, and to me that actually kind of just freaks me out, because you can't make a photorealistic video game. You know, the models are going to look like models, no matter how good the graphics are. So, but that's what most third parties are kind of going for right now, is just sheer power. We had an indie game, No Man's Sky, that got a lot of media coverage purely because it's like, yeah, we're this indie studio, but we're putting out this amazing, technologically advanced game that actually turned out to not be that great. And so it's just all about power and like, flexing technical muscles, I guess you could say. And I just get this unfortunate feeling that the NX is not going to compete, and therefore, once again, third parties are going to shy away from it.
You know,
sadly.
I think that's true, and I think that's just kind of the state of Nintendo at this point, and maybe the new president will surprise us, but I think the NX was kind of already in the works before we lost Mr. Iwata. But, but I definitely have always kind of appreciated, this is going to sound a little backwards, I guess, from like the mainstream ideas, but I've always kind of appreciated that Nintendo is willing to do those things that aren't necessarily profitable, but they're like true to what they're trying to accomplish. Like, I love my Wii U. I know that it is a market failure, and I understand that, but personally, I really love using it. I love the games I have on it. I thought Xenoblade Chronicles was amazing, and the fact that that was a title exclusively for the Wii U, I thought that was just, you know, and there's a lot of games like that, actually. So I'm actually kind of happy to see that Nintendo doesn't just focus on trying to compete with PlayStation and Xbox in terms of, like, hardware, visuals, because I don't really think that's a battle they can win. I think, especially Sony, I think they've just got their hands in so many different pots, and they've got so much money and so much, you know, power with that kind of stuff that I really kind of think Sony is going to come out on top if it's just a competition of who can produce the most powerful system for the cheapest. But, yeah, I've always been kind of happy to see Nintendo innovate. I want to see the system do well because I want to see Nintendo stick around, and I feel like they've really kind of got to hit the nail on the head with this next one, but I won't be disappointed if it's another market failure as long as it's something that's as much fun to play as I thought the Wii U was.
So, kind of on that note, if the NX is another market failure, do you think that, like, some crazy people are just so convinced that Nintendo will finally jump out of the console-making business because apparently they're failures? You know, that's what most people say. I'm with you, Lucas. I love the Wii U. I think it has some of the best exclusive games on it. I think it's really actually kind of sad, and this is going back to 3DS, but it's kind of sad that some of the Wii U's best exclusive games are actually now being ported to the 3DS of all things, but
yeah.
that's kind of something we can get into in a minute. The point of all this is, despite the fact, or if Nintendo has yet another market failure, like the Wii U was, that there's no denying that. Love it, but that's a fact. Do you think Nintendo will stop making consoles and start just making games for its current competitors?
That's
a horrible thought.
I kind of agree. I don't know. I think that people are a little too quick to jump on that whole, like, history repeats bandwagon. And if it happened to Sega all those years ago, it's going to happen to Nintendo. I think if it did happen, it would probably be, like, the beginning of the end for Nintendo. I know some people have said that Nintendo's already at its beginning of its end, but, I mean, look at what happened with Sega. Look at its games. You know, it used to have this robust library of different titles, and then they started coming out on different platforms, and it just kind of got... I mean, like you play Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing, or you don't, but if you do... Which characters do you really recognize other than Sonic and maybe, like, the guys from Monkey Ball, you know? So, I don't know. I just don't think that it would be a smart decision for Nintendo. I kind of think Nintendo's just got to get their act together when it comes to their consoles. And I know they can do it. I know it's not a matter of, like, they just don't have the ability to do it. I think, personally, the biggest, like, scary thought for me is that Nintendo's going to end up having to compete, kind of like you were saying, from just, like, a hardware standpoint, and they stop producing, like, original consoles, and they start just making systems that are, like, on par with the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox, whatever it'll be called. And, like that wouldn't be the most interesting thing for me. That would just be kind of like getting another GameCube. And don't get me wrong, I love the GameCube. But that was really, like, the last time Nintendo flexed any of its processing power at us, I think. And maybe it's time to do that again. Maybe we have to stomach the bad with the good, but... I don't know, I just feel like they've got this reputation at this point for not being mainstream and not being something that developers really want to get into because there's not a lot of return for what you put in. So I don't think they're going to go the way of just completely abandoning
consoles. The way of Sega.
I don't think so. I think people are too quick, like I said, I think they're too quick to say, well, it happened before, so it's going to happen again. I think if Nintendo goes out, which... you know, God forbid, I don't think would ever happen, but if Nintendo does go out, I think they'd go out in a more Nintendo-like fashion.
Yeah, that's true. I'd have to agree with that. And I'm thinking to myself here, people are really, you know, predicting doom and gloom like crazy. This is one generation. I mean, the Wii was a huge success, the DS was a huge success, and the 3DS is not doing that bad, so, so that... That all kind of amounts to just doom and gloom, crazy talk. Jeff, while you were talking, I was thinking to myself, should Nintendo kind of just get away as far as possible from the whole quote-unquote console war? Should Nintendo just not even try to compete, just try to make fun games, almost become like a toy company again, which I almost feel like people are thinking it already is? Or especially with Amiibo. I mean, thank you, Amiibo, for making Nintendo back into a toy company, basically. But do you think that might be a good thing for Nintendo to try to differentiate itself? Obviously, Nintendo has almost always, you know, geared itself towards kids and families. But I don't know. Should it continue trying to do that? To be the toy making company? To be the only... Or should it be the first big three company to leave the big three and not even be in the console wars anymore, but should just be kind of its own thing? Do you think that would be a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, you know, kind of like you were saying, I might be one of those people that thinks that they kind of have already done that. I mean, I don't know if they did it or if the media did it, the gaming media, obviously. But you don't really hear much about Nintendo when they're talking about competing systems and competing specs and everything else. I think it is kind of a battle that Nintendo's kind of said, you know, hey, we're not going to be a part of it, and we're just going to do our own thing. Their marketing practice almost makes them act like the other two systems don't even exist, you notice?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's true.
I could see that being a good idea, actually. I mean, the Wii U and the Wii were both kind of like toys in and of themselves. The Wii obviously did well, the Wii U didn't, but they were both kind of unique toys that just happened to play video games. One was motion-controlled wands, and the other was a screen on a, you know, controller. But yeah, I could get into that, actually. I don't know, I think trying to compete too hard might be a losing battle for Nintendo. Nintendo has a lot of big IPs that are instantly recognizable to people all around the world. They're tapping into the app market now with, I would say, marginal to a great deal of success, especially with Pokemon Go. Maybe not so much Miitomo, but but it definitely seems like they've got their hands in some good things lately. And I just
Amiibo.
Think that
that's huge.
The Amiibo were a huge craze. I know I haven't gone out and bought any in like the last few months, but if they did something to really revitalize Amiibo, if I don't want to say like a Skylanders game because that might be kind of the death of Amiibo, but if they did something worth you know, kind of keeping what they've already established alive now, I think maybe a good idea would be to just kind of ignore what's going on around them for a while and try to focus on creating their own thing. I think creating something unique is always going to do better than trying to compete with other companies.
Yeah, yeah. Not always, you know, as the Wii U said, but I mean, the Wii obviously was a huge payoff in terms of like that risk that Nintendo took. Putting out a system that was not even HD, but it had a, you know, brand new kind of control, way of controlling video games. Huge risk, huge payoff. So I think that could happen again. Unfortunately, it didn't work out with the Wii U, but that's just unfortunate. We'll keep our fingers crossed for the NX, of course. But moving on to our very, very final section of the day. I'm just trying to think, like, 3DS, how did we end up there? When we were going to talk about the fate of the 3DS, I think it all kind of goes together with Nintendo's current state of like nobody knows what the NX is. there is a lot of continuing support for the 3DS from Nintendo, so it all kind of comes together. But our final section of today is talking about a couple of listener questions that we have. The first is another one from Cody. Again, he sent us quite a few questions. Some of them actually specifically address me and Matt, so I kind of want to save those for when Matt can join us on the show again. But a question that he asked that was just kind of, you know, a vague, anyone can answer type of question is, so, new NES Classic with 30 games. Yes, or Christmas gift? Again, he kind of words questions kind of oddly, but that is Cody's listener question. So the new NES Classic is coming. It's getting close to release in November. There are no pre-orders for that open yet, are there?
I haven't.
That you're aware of?
I haven't heard of anything, but maybe we should
I'm
do our research.
I'm starting to get worried.
I haven't heard anything about pre-orders.
I feel like we would have heard something by now. Now we're both like typing like Amazon. Is this thing out yet? But Cody's question basically, obviously the NES Classic is coming. It's got 30 built-in games. It can't fit NES carts in it, of course. There's no word from Nintendo that they'll, you know, add any ability or anything for the thing to play more than just those 30 games, and I doubt they will. It's just going to be a cool little collector's item that is just a kind of a cool collection of games is what I think, but are we excited about it? Are we going to get it? Are we just going to wait till Christmas or, you know, put it on our wish list, whatever. Basically, what's your excitement level about this thing?
I mean, it's a really cool idea. I think it hits well to people who grew up with the system. I think it hits well to people who've never, like, seen the system before and their only experience has been emulating, just because it's not really, like, actually playing the game. But personally, I kind of have most of the games that are on it, and I actually still have my dad's old NES. I think we've got, like, three of them. I'm not sure which one works, but
one of them is bound to.
I think one of them still plays, and I've got the cartridges and everything, so I don't know if it's something I would necessarily get, but I do think it's a cool idea. I like the whole, like, going back to the original thing. It seems interesting.
Yeah. So, do you have a lot of NES games downloaded on your Wii U or Wii?
I think I got a little more into the downloading on the Wii just because it was so new and exciting. When I got the Wii U, my Wii was actually acting up, and I decided not to transfer my content over because I was afraid maybe there was a bug somewhere in there. I might know nothing about gaming, but yeah, my Wii had a lot of issues toward the end. So I didn't bring those games over, so any games that I got, I actually kind of had to rebuy, which stung a little bit. But I have a decent library of NES games, not a huge one. I actually grew up, I was born in 1991, so I grew up more on the Super Nintendo. That was, like, my first, like, system to play as a kid. And those games tend to hold a little more meaning to me than the NES games. The NES games just kind of feel more like a fun diversion. So I'm not huge on the NES. I have a couple of games, like the Mario Brothers games, maybe, like, the first Kirby, but nothing really, you know, super big. Not a huge collection.
Okay, so that said, are you going to buy, because controllers for the NES Classic are going to sell separately, and they actually plug into Wii remotes and work with Virtual Console titles. You knew all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so are you going to buy a controller, maybe? I mean, they're $10.
I could definitely...
Just buy an NES Classic controller.
I could definitely get into the controller idea, if for no other reason than I would really love to play some games with that. It works like a standard classic controller, right? Like, it's not just exclusive to NES titles, or is it?
I think it has to be, just because it doesn't have enough buttons to support NES or SNES games, or N64 games, obviously. So, yeah, I think it'll only work with NES games on the Wii U.
Yeah, I'm not really sure if I'll actually be able to play all of my games on it, but if I can, it's definitely kind of a cool novelty. I could see myself picking one of those up.
Okay, so as far as my feelings go on the new NES Classic that is coming out in November, holy smokes! The first time it was revealed, and I get notifications every time Nintendo tweets, and so the tweet from Nintendo is the first I heard of it. Day one, easily, I was, you know, that was before I even knew the price. Like, seeing the tweet, I was like, I'm getting this. I hope it's not more than $100, but I'm getting this. I find out that it's $60, and it's like, day one, I'm pre-ordering it as soon as I possibly can. And on that note, pre-orders are still not open, not on Amazon anyway, so as far as I know, you can't pre-order this thing anywhere, sadly. But that's kind of just my general thought on it, is day one. Christmas is too far away, so it's not going to be a Christmas wish list for me. It's just going to be something that I personally buy right off the bat. It's hard to explain why, I suppose, but I just want the thing, darn it. I just want it.
I'll be honest. Sorry, I kind of cut you off there.
No, that's okay.
I'll be honest, though. I have actually tried to splice an NES controller into playing, like, a classic controller before, but I know nothing about the hardware, so being able to use one like that is actually really appealing to me.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'd recommend... $10! I'm going to get an NES Classic and another controller for $70 total. To me, that's just a bargain. It's partly because I actually have a lot of family that I could play with, and a lot of, like, older siblings who remember the NES with, you know, pretty good clarity compared to me, playing those games together. The only thing is, my brothers are a little upset that Contra is not on the NES Classic. It's not included in the 30 games, so that'll be the only, like, kind of downer, I suppose, that you could, I suppose you could say. But, you know, what's funny is that I was actually born in 91 as well, so I kind of had the same experience as you, Lucas, where, you know, the Super Nintendo and the N64 were kind of the big systems that I got into in terms of, you know, current systems, because when the NES was current, I wasn't even alive. It's kind of an interesting concept, but yeah, that's true. Okay, so final question, and this is a question that I have brought back from episode 75 for Mike and now you. It's a question from Gentis, and I thought I'd ask this one because it's just kind of a fun question to all of the writers that I have on the podcast. So Gentis's question basically is there a backlog game that you're mad at yourself for not playing yet? So does anything come to mind?
I actually own two games that I got for Christmas either a year or two ago, and I haven't touched either of them, and I think they're still in the wrapping, and they're both Wii games, and they're both really cool games, but I haven't played either of them yet.
Okay.
The first is The Last Story, which is part of that, I think it was part of that localization effort that came out a while ago.
Right.
I don't even really remember the name anymore.
Project Rainfall, I believe?
Yeah. I was going to say Downfall. Yeah, I think it is Rainfall. Yeah,
Downpour.
But, I really wanted to play it, but I just haven't ever jumped in. And the second one is the sequel to Sin and Punishment, Star Successor.
Okay.
Which I loved the first Sin and Punishment on the N64. When that came out on the Wii Virtual Console, I ate that up because it was basically like Star Fox on foot, which sounds bad, but it was actually really interesting. So I would love to jump back into those and play them, but I just never really made the push.
Yeah, I've heard good things about the Wii game. As far as The Last Story goes, maybe it'll help you like decide whether or not you want to start it soon, but The Last Story is actually fairly short for an RPG. I think that the first time that I beat it, it was between 30 and 40 hours, or even 20 and 30 hours. Not a lot.
That's not bad, for an RPG. Yeah, I would appreciate that because I keep trying to play Xenoblade and not X, the original one.
Hmm.
And I keep getting to like the 20-hour point and then getting really bored and putting it away.
So how dare
maybe,
you?
I know, but like I can't sit with an RPG for that long. Especially like
Monster Hunter
RPGs.
Addict over there talking
see,
about
See, to me Monster Hunter is not just an RPG. Monster Hunter is like
it's a way
the
of life.
Perfect game. Yes. But no, actually I have this thing and I think again I'm probably in the minority here, but I really like old RPGs like Dragon Quest III, where you get to make all the characters yourself and there's not really a big story. And that's why I loved Etrian Odyssey so much, because you kind of get to do everything yourself. I don't really like RPGs where the story is handed to you and the characters are already established and everything. I like just kind of like putting your own characters in the game. So that's why I never really finish a lot of RPGs.
Yeah, well, the last story, that actually all makes perfect sense, actually, because Monster Hunter is so customizable, so it's perfect game for Lucas. But the last story is admittedly super story-driven, super character-driven. But again, it is, you know, 20, 30 hours, maybe 40, I suppose, if you really put a ton of time into it, do all the side quests and stuff. But yeah, for RPG standards, it's pretty light. Geez, I had one other comment that I totally forgot. So we'll just kind of quickly move on to my answer to that, in case you haven't heard it in the podcasts where I've talked about it. My quick answer to this question of backlog game that I'm mad at myself for not playing, as some of the listeners may already know, was Metroid Prime 3 Corruption. That I'm mad at myself for not playing that because I loved Metroid Prime. I played it in the trilogy format first, and so I don't know if I could ever go back to the original GameCube version. Mike last week told me, like, you gotta play the original. It's so much better, you know, with the analog controls as opposed to point, but I got so used to point controls that I'm not sure if I could ever go back to analog controls, but I loved it. Started number two, got probably 10 hours into it, but kind of lost interest in it, sadly. And I have this weird thing. Oh my gosh, my comment that I forgot was actually about Final Fantasy, but I have this thing where I have to like play the first and then the second, and I have to do it in order, which ties into Final Fantasy because I have begun playing Final Fantasy games, but I began with the original. So yeah, sad that I haven't gotten up to Metroid Prime 3 yet, but my Final Fantasy comment is, so your comment about how you like RPGs where you can kind of create your own character, so I started Final Fantasy, in which you can kind of create your own team of characters. I don't know if there's like an ideal set of four character types that is ideal or anything.
You're playing the first one?
Yeah.
Well, usually I think the default is to go warrior, white mage, black mage, red mage. That's usually like the easiest set.
Is that the default? Because the default that I had was like warrior, black belt, thief, and let's see, white, red mage, maybe?
I think usually you always want a white mage, just because like you want that healer. But, I mean, Red Mage can do some healing, too. I think that's just kind of the most popular one. I know the challenge online that people love to post is four white mages, which is just ridiculous. I don't think I could ever put that much time into the game.
Probably like 300 hours worth of grinding, and then you'll finally beat it.
Yeah, which is not really my speed. When I played, this was back in college, I actually put myself and like three of my friends, like my roommate and a couple of friends that I was really close to, I named them all after them. And I think I did a warrior, a black mage, a white mage, and a thief. Because I know the thief turns into a ninja, and that's just too cool not to include in your game. But I think that was my set.
It's interesting stuff.
See, I like games like that, though. I like where you're actually able to
customize,
you know, kind of create the story yourself. Are you having trouble getting around in the game? Because the original is really hard to figure out where you're supposed to go from, like, point A to point B.
Yeah, that's not my problem right now. I know there's a lot of grinding that you need to do, so honestly, I'll play it for like 15 minutes at a time, just do a bunch of grinding, and then call it good for that day. So I'm not even out of the first area. The comment that I was going to make was that I didn't anticipate that your character limit would be four characters for each of your characters. So four letters is all you've got to name all of your characters. So my comment was going to be like, I was going to name like the main character Halfika with an F sound. It's kind of hard to say that, I suppose. Halfika. So that was going to be my main character because I kind of came up with that name that sounds a little bit like Holly and I kind of like it. But obviously all that would fit was Half with an F again at the end, Half. And so I decided like, I'm going to just name all of my characters, like, just these really goofy-sounding names. So I've got a Half, I've got a Derf, I've got a... Let's see, what was that other one? Buff, I think? No? Let's see, Biff, maybe? Biff, yeah, I think it's Biff. And then my red mage, or whatever mage it is Steph, I think. So Derf is probably my favorite name. But yeah, Half, Derf, Steph, and Biff.
Quality team.
My character names. And if there are any ways to customize characters in future Final Fantasy games that I end up playing, I am always going to, you know, name as many characters as I can after those, you know, those original four, the true four Warriors of Light or whatever they are. They are Half, Biff, Derf, and Steph. So yeah, that was my random comment on Final Fantasy. But with that, I think we have kind of exhausted all of our topics for this week's episode of the podcast. So thanks so much for joining, Lucas. It's been great to have you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
So is there any way, we usually end the show by saying, like, this is Holly's Twitter account, and this is Mike's or Matt's, and this is Nintendo Fever's. Is there any, like, kind of social media, even if it's, like, your Nintendo Network ID for friend requests, is there any way that the listeners can kind of get a hold of you through social media?
Yeah, I am really bad with the social media, so short of going through any official, like, Nintendo Fever channels, I think probably the best way to reach me would just be to, like, add me with my Nintendo ID.
Which is?
It's E. Dantes, all one word. I can spell that out for you if you'd like. It's E-D-A-N-T-E-S.
All right, great. So, yeah, check Lucas out on Wii U, I guess, on Miiverse, whatever method that you'd like to try there. Also, of course, he'll be on the website, and you can always make comments on any of our posts on the website, so you can talk to him that way. As always, you can actually also talk to myself on Twitter. I am at Holly Filmeth, as always. You can also tag at Nintendo Fever, which is a Twitter account that I'm trying to stay active with and everything like that, so feel free to tag either of those Twitter accounts. Thanks so much for listening to the show, though. If you liked it, please give us a like on YouTube if that's where you're at. Give us a review on iTunes if that's where you're at. A rating on Google Play Store if that's where you're at. If you could do any of those things, leave a review, whatever. That would be so much appreciated. But thanks for listening, if nothing else. And we'll talk to you next week. See you later. From Lucas.
Whoops. Goodbye.
bloopers. best bloopers ever right there.
Oh, God. I forgot.